a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Commerce and Energy for the Senate on this 10th day of February 2012. We have two bills to take up today. I will greet everybody that's listening in on the Internet. I'll remind everybody in the audience to please turn off your cell phones. And with that, the Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Here.
Huell?
Here.
Johnston? Lederman? Rave?
Here.
Nygaard?
Here.
Nelson?
Here.
There's a quorum.
Thank you. We do have two pages with us this morning, so if you just stand and introduce yourself from where you can stand where you're at. Thank you for being here, Ann.
I'm Lucas Peterson out of Sioux Falls.
Thank you, Lucas. Appreciate you both the service that you're helping us with these next couple of weeks. First bill this morning is Senate Bill 1. Pardon me.
No minutes. This is a recent.
Oh, yeah.
No, we adjourned.
We did adjourn?
Yes. Well, that's right, because we did it, yes.
Because we can't post the bills until we adjourn every day.
Right. Second.
Motion by Rave, second by Buell, approve the minutes of our previous meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you. With that, we will begin with our first bill of the morning, Senate Bill 184, to prohibit hiring discrimination on the basis of current employment status. With that, I'll call for proponents and Senator Buell.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senator Angie Buell, District 15 from Sioux Falls. I bring before you this morning Senate Bill 184, which would prevent discrimination in job applications based on current employment status. Over the summer, I became aware of job ads prohibiting people not currently employed from applying. I've distributed a couple of packets of information, including some examples of what this looks like. Essentially, in the listing of qualifications to apply for the job, it says phrases such as must be currently employed. This feels fairly straightforward. I do understand that our employment rate in South Dakota is not as high as other states and lower than the national average, but I also know that for those who are unemployed, it has a huge impact and does not feel like just a statistic. My degree is actually in psychology, and I know that a lengthy job search is tough on a person's morale, especially if they become unemployed through no fault of their own. I don't want the process to be any harder for them than it has to be. So I know that what happens when you're going through job ads and you run into something that might be a great fit, but essentially says you have to have a job to get a job. I know that employers will still make decisions based on what they're looking for when they're considering an applicant, and that's fine. But I think that if you're otherwise qualified for a job based on years of experience and education level and other background pieces, you should not get the proverbial door slammed in your face. I also understand this might not be a perfect bill, but I'm open to amendments from the committee if they have other ideas on how to improve that. So with that, I urge your favorable consideration of Senate Bill 184. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Buell. Further proponents for Senate Bill 184. Proponent testimony for Senate Bill 184. Seeing none, is there opponent testimony to Senate Bill 184? Those in opposition to 184, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Nathan Lucas here on behalf of the Department of Labor and Regulation. As I'm sure you are all aware, we are charged with administering and enforcing laws such as these, which is why we are here today voicing our opposition to Senate Bill 184. Senate Bill 184 would essentially add employment status to the current list of protected classes in employment discrimination, which include race, color, religion, sex, ancestry, disability, and national origin, which would expand South Dakota's discrimination law beyond that of the federal law. The reason that is important is because 90% of the department's discrimination investigations are subsidized by federal funding. Employment status discrimination investigations would not be subsidized because they are not recognized by federal law. This change is estimated to at least triple the number of investigations we are currently conducting, resulting in a fiscal impact of at least $100,000 and requiring two additional FTEs to perform these duties. To give you a little background on where those numbers came from and maybe to explain the system a little bit, in 2011, the department received 329 potential claims, which means somebody contacted the Human Rights Division within the department, filed a discrimination claim. Of those 329, only 102 were investigated. So roughly a third of those were investigated. The reason the others were not investigated is because they did not establish a prima facie case of discrimination. An example of that would be somebody files a claim that they were discriminated against because their employer didn't like their attitude. Well, attitude is not a protected class. Establishing a prima facie case would be somebody files a claim alleging that they were discriminated against based on their race. So on its face, there's a valid claim there. So it requires an investigation, and our investigations tend to run about $500 is kind of our estimate that we use. So why we say this would at least triple is given the language in the bill, employment status is extremely broad. Current employment status could be read to include the fact that an individual is unemployed as well as who they're currently employed with. So if we're covering everybody that's unemployed and employed, you're covering everybody. So anybody that files a claim alleging this would establish the prima facie case, require the department to investigate the claim, which subsequently requires the employer to defend against the claim. This would be a drastic change from South Dakota's current at-will employment status. Under current statute, employers are free to hire or fire whomever they please as long as it's not prohibited by statute. This statutory change would open the class to essentially everybody, which would have the result of eroding our at-will employment doctrine. Another potential issue with the broad nature of this bill is it could hinder an employer's ability or at least cause an employer to be reluctant to inquire into an individual's employment history. When an employee currently applies, they list who they're currently working for. The employer frequently contacts them and checks up on the references. Well, having a bill that makes it a protected class, employers are often reluctant to dive into that area. So as Senate Bill 184 is currently written, allowing employment status as a protected discriminated class could hinder an employer from looking into a potential employee's employment status because they may fear they're opening the door to a claim. I think that pretty much sums up the department's concerns in opposition to this bill. And as such, we would respectfully request you defeat Senate Bill 184 and send it to the 41st legislative day. With that, I will stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lucas. Additional opponents, those in opposition to Senate Bill 184. Mr. Owen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. David Owen, South Dakota Chamber of Commerce. This fits that kind of category, probably too much solution for a problem, and we don't support the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Owen. Further opponents? Ms. Johnson, good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Julie Johnson. I'm with Absolutely Aberdeen, a growth initiative in Northeast South Dakota. The rest of the year, we get to lead our workforce recruitment and development efforts for Northeast South Dakota. So we're deeply involved in all of the workforce recruitment efforts of our area and individual employers. I was not aware of what Senator Buell had brought to our attention, but I would suggest to you that one state law on this subject will not plug this hole. It occurs to me, based on what I'm reading in front of us and the examples given to us by the senator, that this would require a federal fix. If you are to deal with this problem effectively, the state legislature of South Dakota would not ever be able to get its arms around this problem, because this stuff is done in interstate commerce and over the internet and all those kinds of things. It would be very difficult for a state legislature to get its arms around this problem and to do anything effective on it. I know the senator's intentions are pure here, but that would be a problem that we would not be able to fix in South Dakota. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Further opponents to Senate Bill 184. Further opponent testimony to Senate Bill 184. Hearing none then, Senator Buell, brief rebuttal.
Angie Buell, Senator Angie Buell from Sioux Falls. Just a couple of things. I think there was a reason that in the drafting we didn't include this specifically in the list of currently protected categories, because that section of law also applies to things like housing and public accommodations, and that was not the intent of the bill. Perhaps there's a way to tweak it so it just applies to job ads. There are a number of things that are already outlined that you cannot advertise in a job, so you can't say, for example, know people within a certain age or something like that. People might be out of the workforce for a lot of reasons, and I would, for example, for people taking extended time for maternity leave or things like that, they might be out of a job for a while and looking to reenter, and I would just hope that we would send a message that that's not okay to slam someone's door in their face if they're otherwise qualified. So I urge your support of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Buell. With that, I will close to testimony and open up for committee questions. Any questions of the committee? Senator Nygaard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and for Senator Buell.
My exercise this morning.
You look too comfortable sitting there. My question initially is as we read your handouts, certainly very alarming, and I understand your concern. Well, what is the purpose, and I may have to ask some opponents on this, what is their purpose of being so concerned about having current employment to apply for a job? What am I missing here?
Mr. Chair, if I may, it's my understanding that employers are concerned that long-term unemployed people, that they're unemployed for a reason, that they're not otherwise capable or as solid of employees when they're performing a job. And I think that's just not always the case, especially when we've seen unemployment. We're just starting to see that drop again. People are getting back in. And I think that there's a stereotype or misconception out there that because they're unemployed, that they're less capable of performing a job.
Thank you.
Additional questions on Senate Bill 184? Thank you, Senator. Any other questions? If not, I will close to question and open up for committee discussion.
I guess I, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Nygaard.
I'm still, this kind of the tip of the iceberg here at a time when this country, and not so much our state as the proponent admitted, that we don't have a real unemployment problem in South Dakota. And I didn't really see that we have any of these examples were South Dakota. They were advertised here for employment other place. Yeah, I certainly recognize what Julie Johnson mentioned from Aberdeen, that we're dealing with interstate commerce, and there that triggers the Commerce Clause, and our jurisdiction is a little fuzzy. It might work for intrastate ads and intrastate located people located in our state, but personally, it's concerning. I wonder if instead of calling it a discriminatory practice and getting into that whole area of overlap with federal Civil Rights Act of 1964, perhaps we could just say that it is illegal to advertise for a job and require that they're currently employed. Because, you know, that's interference with a contract relationship when you try to hire someone away from someone else. It can be tortious interference with it. Anyhow, I would invite other discussion if anybody has any ideas.
That was pretty good.
Further discussion?
Well, thank you.
Further discussion on Senate Bill 184? Senator Lederman?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to say that that was about where I was at, too. So thank you for verbalizing my thoughts.
I guess just to follow up on that, Mr. Chairman, if I may. I think this is something that needs to be developed further, Senator Beal. And even though I don't plan on running for re-election next year, feel free to call me and I'll see what I can do to help you research this and work with those, turn to those opponents that were just speaking also and see what their concerns are and see if there's some way that we could address it without causing it to conflict with discrimination under the Civil Rights Act. Anyhow, thank you.
Sure.
Senator Rave.
I would respectfully move to the 41st legislative day.
Second. Motion by Rave, seconded by Lederman to move 184 to the 41st day. Discussion on the motion?
Briefly only that I do believe the intent is correct. I am with Senator Nygaard, which doesn't happen frequently, I think there is some bigger issues we need to look at. So I hadn't even thought about them until, frankly, we came here. So I'd ask you to support the motion. Thank you.
Further discussion on the motion to the 41st day? I will briefly echo a little bit what Senator Nygaard and Rave said. I don't understand, and maybe I just need to further investigate it. I don't understand why an employer would ask that question. Seems to me that would come out during the interview process, and if they had a problem with it, they wouldn't. It wouldn't be something they needed to advertise. But with that, I will support the motion to the 41st day. And if there's no other discussion, I'll ask the secretary to call the roll. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed say nay.
Edelstein?
Aye.
Buell?
No.
Johnston? Excused. Lederman?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
5-1.
Senate Bill 184, having received an affirmative vote of the members elect, is hereby sent to the 41st day. With that, we will take up Senate Bill 185, an act to provide an exception from the statutory requirements for persons taking steps towards self-employment and to allow them to collect unemployment compensation. Senator Buell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning again, members of the committee. Senate Bill 185 comes as a result of trying to figure out a concept for how to encourage people to essentially take a lemon and turn it into lemonade. For people who've been laid off from a job, who are through no fault of their own, so they're eligible for unemployment benefits, who are likely to exhaust those benefits, maybe because of the technical nature of the field they're in or something like that, to encourage them to take the leap and if they're in a position to do so, to start a small business taking steps towards self-employment count toward their unemployment weekly activities. Just to give you a reminder for the committee of the landscape of where we are with unemployment benefits, to be eligible for unemployment benefits from the Department of Labor, someone must have been an employee for a specified number of quarters and have their employer pay into the Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund. They must have lost their job through no fault of their own, so they can't have quit. They can't have been fired for cause. They must be actively seeking work, and they must take a job if it's offered to them. So what he wanted to do is to create a program based on a couple of programs from other states and then allow us to take part in the federal self-employment assistance program as well to allow them to take steps toward becoming self-employed. So we're creating jobs without them having to what's known as fake apply for jobs. This is something that states can opt into. The other states that have done this are Delaware, Maine, New Jersey, New York, Oregon, Pennsylvania, and Washington. And as you'll see in the bill, there is an automatic sunset. So if the federal program goes away, then we're not on the hook for anything. The way it would work under Senate Bill 185 is this. If a person becomes unemployed through no fault of their own, they could apply for this program to allow them to take steps toward creating a business. Once they're accepted, they then have 30 days to write a business plan, And then the bill, by the way, is written fairly broadly, so the department would also promulgate rules based on what other qualifying activities would have to be taken place so that we are getting people who are legitimately trying to start a small business and not just trying to get out of having to apply for jobs. They would then be required to complete those activities in order to continue getting self-employment benefits or unemployment benefits from the unemployment insurance trust fund for a specified period of time that could also be set by the Department of Labor. This is meant to, like I said, help people who are likely to exhaust their benefits get off of unemployment sooner than they otherwise might, because they might have a lengthy job search for whatever reason by the nature of their industry or things like that. I do know that employers really are frustrated with people coming in to fake apply when they're really not, just so that they can get those going, maybe because they're looking for a job that's more in their field that might be harder to find. So this is a mechanism for people to create those jobs for themselves and to increase the share of the jobs pie in South Dakota through encouraging entrepreneurship. So with that, I respectfully urge your favorable consideration of Senate Bill 185. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Buell. Further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 185. Proponents for Senate Bill 185. Seeing none, are there opponents to Senate Bill 185? Opponent testimony. Mr. Lucas, good morning again.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Still Nathan Lucas and still speaking on behalf of the Department of Labor and Regulation. To give you a little background into where this program comes from, I'm sure you're all aware that the unemployment system has a fair amount of federal oversight and regulation dictating what we as a state can and cannot do. The Self-Employment Assistance Program was authorized by the federal government to take effect back in 1994 with an initial intent of expiring in 99, and it's since continued. Since that time, there have only been 10 states that have enacted active SEA programs, and there are currently only 7, with one of those 7 scheduled to drop off July 1st of this year. The reason I point that out is to make sure it's clear that this is not a new cutting-edge program. It's been around for nearly 20 years, and the number of states are declining, not increasing. So the numbers seem to indicate this program is a sinking ship, and hopping on board at this time may be ill-advised. In addition, there are various costs associated with the implementation of this program. The department would be charged with administering this program just as they are all other unemployment issues. The estimated costs for program services could be up to $3.2 million a year. The estimated costs for program administration could be up to $972,000 each year. These funds would have to come from general funds. We would receive no additional federal funding for implementing this program. While there are some differences in numbers, we pulled these from a study that was conducted by USDOL in 2011 based on the states that were currently administering the program and the cost per participant, and then looking at the number of participants that we'd be estimated to have in South Dakota. In addition to the cost issues, this program would also contradict the current UI framework in South Dakota. As the good senator pointed out, the current system requires individuals to be actively seeking work, not refusing suitable job offers. This program would change both of those. An individual would be able to enter the program, cease looking for work, and not accept suitable work that is offered to them, and still be able to accept benefits. In addition to that, there's a federal requirement that there is no offset for the individual's earned income while they are in the program. Under the current unemployment system, if an individual is earning income while drawing benefits, there's an offset. Above $25, 75 cents on the dollar of what they are earning is offset against the benefit they're receiving. Which makes sense. An individual can't draw benefits and also draw an income. There's an exception to that general rule for this program in federal law. So an individual would be able to start up a business, start making money, and continue earning benefits. Another potential downside of that is that would essentially disincentivize an individual for getting off the system. They could ride out all 26 weeks while gaining their self-employment income and still collecting money from the state. If, after listening to these concerns, you think there's maybe a nugget of goodness in this program and deserves to be explored a little further, I would still encourage you to oppose this bill for the following reason. State statute establishes an unemployment advisory council, which meets regularly throughout the year. Members are appointed by the governor. The members consist of people from the employer side, the employee side, as well as the department. The purpose of this council is to hear ideas such as this, look into them, get everybody's input, do a detailed analysis, weigh the cost benefits, and come up with a conclusion of whether it's something we'd support or not. This idea has never been run through the advisory council. So I've spoken with Senator Buell and, you know, indicated if this is something that she feels needs to get looked into further, the place to do that would be first through the UI Advisory Council, get the input of all of the relevant players, figure out exactly what we're dealing with, what issues other states have run through, and then look at the bill at that time. Passing this bill as is would essentially be allowing the tail to wag the dog. You'd be requiring the department to implement this program, which would have to go through the feds to get approved before we could do it, and it would be backwards. And I say that not saying that we support all of the issues I earlier addressed. We feel are serious concerns and that this is not a good program. But that was just the caveat disclaimer that if any of you feel there is something there, that the advisory council would be the appropriate place for that. And we would urge you to not pass Senate Bill 185 and defer it to the 41st legislative day. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lucas. Any additional opponents? Senate Bill 185, Mr. Owen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, David Owen, South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry. I think I'm partially responsible for this bill being here. When I start kind of walking on issues and thinking about it, my brain takes off, and I have to go out and try to find it and try to bring it back in. And I had a conversation with the senator and with Don Katke. I am part of the UI Advisory Board, and this is not a position that they've ever discovered. But we do the Giant Vision Entrepreneurship Competition. So put yourself in the mode of saying, if we really believe in encouraging entrepreneurism as part of South Dakota's future, and if there's too many of them and too many of the plans are too goofy to like do direct awards, and that's certainly the case, what else can you do to encourage that? And so part of the conclusion was, well, maybe you can deal with the downside. And then Senator Buell came up with this idea that says, well, while they're there, we can have them work on it. And I do think that's fairly intriguing, and there is a part of me that would really like that to work. Well, if I'm intrigued with it, I found out in a conversation with my board, they're not. And they're right, and the department's right. Unemployment insurance is created for a very specific purpose, and this probably just pushes that a little too far. So, like I said, if I'm responsible for this being here, I don't really apologize. I think it's real intriguing. I've waited 3 days to give this speech. But in the end, I don't think the bill needs to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Owen. Additional opponent testimony, Senate Bill 185. Ms. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Julie Johnson with Absolutely Aberdeen. As I mentioned, we're a growth initiative in Northeast South Dakota. One of the cornerstones of our work also involves what we call build on our culture of entrepreneurship, which is a recommendation that the Richard Florida Group Catalytics gave to Aberdeen about 6 or 7 years ago as a way of building our economy. So we do have relationships and we do manage programs for entrepreneurship and small business assistance in Northeast South Dakota. This bill uses the term self-employment. I'm sure that is also code words for entrepreneurship, small business assistance, all kinds of other vocabulary words that we could use here. In that in what we do in the couple of programs that we either run or underwrite or support enormously, we are very taken by the fact that all of the information that we get to use or help our entrepreneurs with is confidential information. Financial plans, business plans, we treat that very confidentially. It would be unwise for us to now all of a sudden submit that to a state agency that has nothing to do with small business assistance and turn that into some form of public information. There are all kinds of problems with this. I would follow the advice about sending this to the UI Advisory Council if there's any merit to it at all, and we'll stand down for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Further opponents to Senate Bill 185. Good morning, Ms. Brish.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Michelle Brish, and I'm here representing the South Dakota Innkeepers Association. Over the probably the past year and a half or 2 years, I'm kind of a newbie, but I have been fairly regularly attending the UI Advisory Board meetings. And as they were struggling these last couple years with the issues that they've had with the fund, something that always struck me was that they're always talking about what the employers can do and what costs the employers have to take on. And I don't know if I've ever even heard a discussion there about taking benefits from the recipients or, you know, from that side of it. I think the state's done an excellent job in managing that fund and bringing it back. And we would just like to not see this added expense at this time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other opponent testimony for Senate Bill 185? Opponents for 185? Seeing none, I will close to testimony. Senator Buell, if you'd like a few moments for a rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Angie Buell from Sioux Falls. Just a couple of quick points. Number one, I think if this program has been around for 20 years at the federal level, it might be sort of a better late than never scenario for South Dakota. As to the costs, I think that could be seen as an investment in job creation. We do that all the time as the state. We spend general fund dollars to create jobs and get folks and companies from out of state. So I think it makes as much sense conceptually to invest in people in state as well. This is still meant for people who are actively seeking work. I think the difference maybe comes into how they're doing that because they're creating that work for themselves. With regard to the details of what happens when they start making self-employment income, it's my understanding that currently if you were to start making self-employment income while you were on unemployment benefits, you would cease to qualify for that, and I think that could be worked out as part of the program too, that once you start making it, great, you're done. Go do your business. I think there is a nugget of goodness in this. I know it's not a perfect bill, and I sort of mean it as a jumping-off point to start a conversation, because I do think that it is valid, and I look forward to working with folks like the UI Advisory Council and other stakeholders at the table in order to figure out how to make it a workable program and a program that's not going to disincentivize what we're trying to do. But I think it makes sense as a concept, and I appreciate the committee's time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Buell. With that, I will close to testimony and open up for committee questions. Questions of the committee? Discussion for the committee. Senator Rave, then Nygaard.
Mr. Chair, I would respectfully move this bill to the 41st day.
There is a motion to move 185 to the 41st day. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Nygaard. Discussion on the motion?
Again, briefly, I could not speak better than Mr. Owen, so for all of the reasons in his three-day prepared speech, I would ask you to support the motion.
I have
Senator Nygaard.
Yeah, thank you. I had to comment on Mr. Owen's testimony also because as I listened to Mr. Owen, I found myself identifying with his thought process, and that was very scary for me.
You were scared.
Yeah, what do you think he is? Yes, I understand. Thank you.
Further discussion on the motion of 185 to the 41st day. Hearing none, then, those in favor of the motion will say aye. Those opposed will say nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein? Excused. Buell?
No.
Johnston? Excused. Lederman?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Four yes, one no, two excused.
Senate Bill 185, having received an affirmative vote of the members elect, is hereby sent to the 41st day.
Move adjourn.
We're just going to make a brief comment. I give him the gavel for a couple of days, and he just takes over. With that, though, members of the committee, I appreciate your patience and working with the bill load that we had the last couple of weeks. This concludes our Senate bills. We're at halftime of the game. We had 34 bills, which was about 20% of the load in the Senate. With eight standing committees, I think we did a little bit more than our share, but I appreciate everybody working very hard on this. We had a lot of good discussion. I appreciate Senator Nygaard and his work as a chair. He did extremely well, and I appreciate that. However, last night in the military banquet, when the president had him speechless, I think we should have the president of the Senate introduce him every day so he might be a little more speechless during committee. With that, if there's nothing else, we will meet on regular time and place Tuesday. We have 16 House bills at this point, and we'll start up with six, and we have an appointment of Pam Roberts as Secretary of Labor that time as well. So with that,
I move adjourn.
Second.
Motion Nygaard, second Lederman to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you.
You do.